previously on Corporate Homie.
Lessons that we can learn from the confirmation hearings.
That isn't going to play well with a black woman being emotional, being loud, going back and forth.
Her game was to show character, was to show judicial temperament.
What are you doing? We want to track meet. We don't want to slow it down.
Come on, somebody. Now, that's a word.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Work Culture 22.
Before, it was like, you're just a coworker. I don't think about you as a mother or a sister.
Now you have to worry about, what are they going to say about me on Twitter?
It used to be, you know, if your dog barked on a call, people like, she ain't working today. Her dog is barking.
What are these streets are talking? What are they saying? What's up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Whoop, whoop. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I said a whoop, whoop.
Okay.
I said a whoop, whoop.
Okay, you got to stop doing that. Like, you have to stop doing that, for real. Like, it's embarrassing for you.
I said a whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah, team too much. Okay, let's get into the episode.
I'm excited. Okay, so we are, as you would say, happy, glad, and Red Bull excited today to talk about how work culture is changing. For many of us, myself included, we are about to go back, and I put back in quotes, into the office, because at my firm, we're only going back 3 days a week.
I'm glad you said back to the office. We're going back, and we're going to talk a little bit about, are you going back full time? Are you going back in a hybrid? But so many people are like, girl, have y'all gone back to work?
We've been back to work. We ain't never left work.
Going back to the office.
I don't know.
We never left work. We're going back to the office. Not the same. Have you not been working for 2 years? Because I've been working.
And so I feel like, you know, the bridge is over.
The bridge is over. The bridge is over.
I feel like the wait is over. Like, it is, work is back on and popping, but it.
I just, for the, wait, I want to pause. She just gave y'all an epic 80s
the bridge is over.
Rap lyric there. Little KRS-One, the bridge is
That's
over.
That's right. And so I do feel like we're going back to work, but it is. The remix, right? Remix of 22 and what work culture might look like and some trends that we think that we're seeing as we go back. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Work culture 22 and beyond.
Work culture 22. And I think it's, I remember Mary J. Blige did this Love Without a Limit remix in the early
90s. Oh, yeah.
And we were home in Memphis for the summer when that came out. So this is like summer of 92, I want to say. Summer of 92, maybe 93. But long story made short, you know, before that, all the remixes basically sounded like a variation of the original song. But this did not sound like that. And I will never forget, the DJ was like, and that was the remix to Love Without a Limit, I guess. And that to me is what going back to the office feels like, because we're not going back to a version of the original thing that we had. And so that's why we wanted to do this episode, because this is a new thing.
I think that is so true. So what's the first trend you think we're seeing in work culture 22?
I think the first trend that we're seeing is that presence is no longer, physical presence is no longer considered a must-have, a non-negotiable. And before that, you know, autonomy was an earned right, right? The ability to work remotely was some type of privilege. Now, it almost appears that if you don't have some version of remote working, that you're going to be at a competitive disadvantage. I would also say before the pandemic, even when you were working remotely, you were like, well, I'm working remotely because my air conditioning man is coming. Now it's like, I'm not going to be in office on Wednesday.
Period.
No explanation. Right. So I think that's the biggest difference is like more people were like, well, I got this repair and I got to pick this up and carry the one, the square root of 87. That is not required now. Now it's like, I'm going to work from home on Wednesday. I'm going to work from home on Friday or whatever.
I think you're completely right, which is dovetails nicely into my first trend, which was, I was going to say, if you're going to compete for talent or, you know, for knowledge, you know, the knowledgeable worker, the great worker, you're going to need to shorten your work week. You're going to need to shorten your work week. If you are requiring people to come in 5 days a week, you probably will not end up with the most talent. And I think that's a huge, you know, remix or change, because it used to be, to compete for the top talent, you need to increase pay. And I don't think it's going to be pay as much as it's going to be a shortened, like you said, work week, or, you know, the flexibility that you were talking about. So I definitely think
it's interesting you say that, because McKinsey did a survey and they surveyed employees and said, would you rather have a remote work policy environment, hybrid, or would you rather have an additional $10,000 in pay? And they chose the 95% of the employee survey chose the flexibility versus the
time. Leisure is the new club, right? Everybody wants leisure time. We are looking for.
Let me tell you guys, let me just say this. I have to shout him out. The person who has had this on lock for 15 years is DeMarc, our younger Liggins. Brother.
DeMarc has been on this.
He has been on this. And he's basically sitting around like, welcome. This solo club of one has been meeting on Thursdays at 3 o'clock since 2005.
DeMarc Liggins is like, the
he
president.
He has been on this. Just want to shout out client. The genius.
He's the leisure time president. He is literally like, I'm going to need my time. You're absolutely right.
My trend that I've noticed, well, I wouldn't say notice, that I want to point out, is that there are all of these articles and all of these experts that are saying, like, this is what we're going to have to do to be competitive, and people are going to have to do this. And the answer is, there is not one single person that has worked on the backside of a global pandemic. So there are no experts into unequivocally what's going to be right, what's going to be wrong. And so in many ways, the playbook is being rewritten. And so this is an opportunity for us to voice, you know, different things to, I don't mean test limits like a child test limits at with their parent, but, you know, if you've been thinking about, should I be speaking up in a meeting? Or if you've been thinking about, should I give my out of the box idea? This is the time to do it, because every organization has been affected by this pandemic. And I say by this pandemic because we're still in it. And every time we think we're about to get out of it, something else happens. And so there are no experts. So, you know, the trend I would say is that there is no playbook.
I think that's right. Right. All things are new, right? You can. So now is the time to, like you said, speak up, decide to, you know, give a new and creative idea. I definitely agree with you on that. Another trend I think that has come out now and we will see beyond is fairness and equity are going to continue to be defining issues in organizations. And so I don't want to say we're going to stay with diversity because I don't know, but I do think what's fair, what's equitable, and that is whether it's around, you know, race and ethnicity, climate change, COVID vaccine distributions, you know, everybody wants to think about what's fair. I think the, you know, shareholders want to know that, your earnings calls want to know that, people, you know, it's showing up and because of the hybrid work, you know, well, is it fair that someone can live out of state now? You know, do they have to pay the same tax?
Right. If you say you want to live in Florida, but we hired you in New York, are we going to pay you New York salary to live in Florida? Yeah, it's good, great point.
So I think that's going to show up all up and through our organizations and how we move forward.
Right. I think also a trend, even though people or many people want a hybrid work environment, it doesn't mean that they don't want to be connected to their organization. And so visibility is still going to be like super, super important, because what people are also looking for is stability, right? There's so much unknown. And so I think, I know for you, I feel this way. I know you feel this way. Like, if I'm just doing my job, especially if I'm somebody who's not in a client facing role where I'm on, say, Zoom calls with other team members, with clients or what have you, I don't want to go through droughts where I haven't talked to my boss or seen anybody else. That's making me feel like my job is at risk. That's making me feel like I'm not feeling confident. I don't know what's going on. So I do think that, you know, we're going to have to find ways to be visible. Companies don't have to find, and organizations find ways to be visible and to also be transparent in what's going on. Because if you don't do those two things, then people are going to feel like I'm in jeopardy or I don't trust you. And either of those things means I think I need to be looking for a new place to go. So even though people want to be remote, they're not looking to not be they still want visibility so they can feel that stability.
It's so interesting you say that, because the data is showing that in this hybrid world, women and people of color prefer to work from home compared to their white male counterparts. But without, I think the point you're making is well intended, without, you know, intentionality, that underrepresented talent could be excluded from, you know, critical conversations, career opportunities, and all the networks that drive your career growth. And if people are sitting at home feeling like nobody is looking out for them, they will leave. Another trend, I think, and maybe this is just me personally, but I feel like sitting is the new smoking.
It is, right? People are like, where's your standing desk? You might as well be at a meeting with a bunch of carbs, you know, and donuts and bagels, right?
Yeah. Right, because some people during COVID are like, oh, I got a Peloton, I increased my physical activity, and I lost weight. They say that's 35% of workers, but most people, 45%, said that they had become more sedentary and gained weight. And so that's likely due to the fact that you don't walk to your job, you don't walk to your office, you don't walk to your car, you get up, you sit down. And so there's a lack of physical movement in your day. And I think organizations are going to have to adopt, new, like you said, technologies to support physical movement. They're going to have to maybe give you the ball chair and the standing desk, and we're going to see all of that.
Right. The standing desk. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think this is just from my viewpoint, but I think a big trend that at least I've seen in every interaction, whether it's been work or boards that I sit on, is that people are more empathetic, right? So it used to be, you know, if your dog barked on a call, people like, she ain't working today, her dog is barking. Or if they heard a baby in the background.
Now your 2-year-old can come and
the landscaping guys
in a Zoom call and we don't think anything of it, and we shouldn't.
I just think that it has humanized us in a way. We had an opportunity to see people as people. You know, you and I always talk about our favorite is Claire McCaskill. She's like, y'all gonna
be in my kitchen. Every interview.
I'm going to be in my kitchen. But I think that empathy is also going to translate to, because it used to be, I feel like, you know, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but like people would have a death in the family and the organization would say something like, take as much time as you need. And then 2 days later, they're like, where is the so-and-so report? I think that empathy is going to extend in a way that I don't think I've ever seen in my 20-something years in working, is because now we see each other as people and not simply as coworkers, like coworkers who are people. I know that sounds kind of Fisher Price, but before it was like, you're just a coworker.
A widget.
I don't think about you as a mother or a sister or a mom.
And please don't do anything
spouse.
To remind
like,
me
I just
that
think
you are those things when you come here. Please just be a worker.
Right.
Right. No, I think you're right. Absolutely so right. I think also, and I don't know if this is 2 points. I went back and forth. Should this be 2 points or one? But I think that we have a whole new generation of employees who value wellness and boundaries that we have never experienced before. They are constantly messaged that you should be getting 8 hours of sleep. You should not look at your device for 30 minutes before you go to sleep. You should have a morning routine that eases you nicely into your day. You should get a physical, workout in. It's very different than when we were coming up. When we were coming up, people who worked out got up at 3:30 in the morning. They had a workout at 4, and they were still, it didn't impact, the workday. And I think now wellness is just a bigger part of that.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And then this is more of a wish list for a trend. I hope that diversity and all this energy around diversity and justice and equity and inclusion becomes a core part of our business values and not this standalone set aside thing that we do. So I'm hoping that becomes a workplace trend. I'm not going to say that it is, because right now there's been a lot of announcements, but there hasn't been enough time to track it. So, I don't know.
So the last trend I think you're going to see is, I call it the fourth wall. So it's sort of like when you go see a play and they break the wall, or you're watching a television show and they start talking to you as the audience. I think that has changed in corporate America. It used to just be you worried about your stockholders, your employees, your clients, or your customers. Now you have to worry about, what are they going to say about me on Twitter? What is the global
world? What's the world
think of
say?
Us?
What are the streets saying?
These streets are talking. What are they saying? And that is, I don't think it's going away. That is very real as to how you do business, how you treat your employees, how you treat your clients, how you treat your shareholders. All of that is factoring in. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do think that it is a trend that's not going away.
It is, but it is where we are. Yeah. Great point. Well, I think it would be interesting to hear from you, homies. What trends are you seeing at your jobs and your careers? So as you listen to the episode, drop us a note or shoot us a DM or message and let us know what you're saying. These are the things that we're saying. These are the things that we're hearing. And we'd love to hear from
you
guys.
You can always email us at questions@corporatehomie.com. And you can catch us on all social, which is Corporate Homie, which you know how to spell because you're listening, which is HOMIE.
And until next time.
Hustle hard, homies.
The All of You Get You a Twin. Get you another homie.